Pablo Torre, Kevin Flagstone, Israel Gutierrez, Bill Plaschke. Game six. You know my theory. Game six is sometimes better than game seven. Game one. You know my theory. Game one's always better than game zero. Immaculate innings. You know my theory. Two better than one. Let's go.
That those immaculate innings are three stooges.
Oh, you blame the batters for not taking a pitch?
I blame the batters. Oh, blame the total batters. Totally blame the batters.
Check out these photos of Jason Tatum from different moments yesterday, in and out of practice, and being interviewed by some of our colleagues. Here's Monica McNutt. You just saw Cassidy Hubbard. A ball was always in his hands. The oldest coaching trick in the book. You have too many turnovers? Carry a ball everywhere you go. Can he control the turnovers? And can the Celtics survive the night? Let's start there with Curry and Klay and Draymond on the precipice of Title IV in history and the enormity for Golden State. How can the Celtics, who could be, maybe, should be up 3-2, stay alive tonight? And is it more about getting Tatum right or the role players, Israel Gutierrez, around the horn to you?
No, I think it's more about getting Tatum right. And yes, you know, in Boston, the role players will probably naturally play better, but it's going to become so much easier for them if Jason Tatum is actually leading the way. And if you look at the way this series has gone, the first quarters, it's largely been sort of Jaylen Brown being the aggressor and trying to get his. And Jason Tatum sort of, you know, is moving the ball, which is something that we've wanted him to do all season long. And he had started doing all season long and did a phenomenal job with. But in the playoffs, you need your leader to take you, to carry you places. Somebody always has to elevate their game. And Jason Tatum hasn't been doing that in first quarters and fourth quarters. And when that happens, especially in fourth quarters, you get guys like Marcus Smart feeling like they have to carry them. Or Brown, again, maybe dribbling into traffic and creating turnovers. And Tatum is just not having that calm sort of demeanor when he's driving. Yes, occasionally he's making the right pass. Very often he's making the right pass. But when he's attacking for himself, doesn't seem like the same player. They need a leader. They need somebody to carry them in their obviously most important game of the season.
Bill Plaschke.
The second best two words in sports, Tony. Game six. I'm here for it. I'm here. I hate the Celtics. I'm cheering like hell against the Celtics. Everybody knows that. But I think.
Thank you for sharing.
Transparency.
Well, of course. What do you expect? I'm an LA guy. But I do think the Celtics win tonight because I think Golden State, despite their championship DNA, they don't have the closeout DNA this season. They're 0-3 in closeout games. It's a special mindset of desperation. They don't have that. And I think Jason Tatum, it is on him. I mean, he's got more turnovers than anybody in NBA history in the playoffs so far. He's shooting 30% from inside the arc. I think Tatum leads him. He has to lead him. Celtics win.
Pablo Torre.
So with all due respect to closeout geneticist Bill Plaschke, Dr. Bill Plaschke, I'm sure, I will point out that I feel like the answer here is a little more pedestrian, right? And it does have to do with what Bill was trying to say at the very end there, which is that the turnovers, I mean, what are the three worst words for a Celtics fan in sports right now? Live ball turnover, Tony. And that specific kind of turnover. Jared Dubin at 538 pointed this out, right? In terms of turnovers the Celtics have committed, 63% are live ball, which means that you don't get a chance to set your defense. You don't get a chance to sort of catch your breath. These are those, as Izzy alluded to, wild drives into traffic that result in points at a rate that if it happened during the regular season, the Warriors, we, the second best stat in the entire NBA. So they're being punished more than you can imagine, and they are committing mistakes more than anybody should have imagined. The Celtics defense has been fine, honestly. It's the offense and the transition defense, which happened to be the same thing via the turnover.
And Kevin Blackstone.
And so your question is it role players or is it the star players? And I think it's a little bit of both, but let's start with the star players right now. Jason Tatum's had an odd series here, right? On the one hand, as Bill pointed out, he hasn't been able to score two-pointers. How does this happen? On the other hand, he's been on fire from the three-point line. He's had a tremendous number of turnovers. On the other hand, he's also handling the ball a lot more and distributing a lot more.
How many hands do you have, Kevin Blackstone?
Well, I'm just explaining it to you here. If I'm wrong, shocked me. And then, but the other thing is the role players that need to step up. There are two guys in particular, Al Horford. We know that when Al Horford is playing really, really well, the Celtics are probably going to win. We've seen that in this series. And the same thing from Derek White. When Derek White has been really good, he's been good offensively and, of course, defensively. But when he's scoring the ball at least 20 points, they're really good. So it's all hands on deck.
Yes, all hands on deck. Yes, the octopus strategy for Blackiston. Last word, Israel, after the horn.
When the Celtics were up 2-1, what did it look like the Warriors needed? A huge game from Steph Curry to carry them. He gave them that and turned the series on its head right there, and now they're ahead. The Celtics need that game from Jason Tatum.
And Plashke, last word.
Yeah, how come we're not talking more about Steph Curry's finger? I mean, I think that's an issue. We saw him. He seemed to be favoring it. That's an issue. That'll be an issue tonight.
Talk about that then, Bill Plashke. Other side of the court, Steph Curry. He's coming off the 0-for-9 three-pointer game. First time he missed a three in the postseason in decades nearly. And he has had a wrapped finger today in the morning shoot-around. Now, there's some making the argument there's more pressure on Curry, maybe even than Tatum tonight, to close it out, win the MVP, vault into the top 10 all-time in NBA history, and solve world hunger. Plashke, what's at stake for Steph Curry tonight?
This is huge for Steph Curry. His legacy, it's huge. He wins his championship. In my mind, he wins his championship. He moves into the top 10 all-time players, and he knocks out Larry Bird. So he double whammy.
Are you
double whammy on the Celtics? No,
what
look at it.
What are you doing today, Bill?
Look at it, Tony. Look at it. He's not going to knock out Shaq. He's not going to knock out Kobe. He's not going to knock out Tim Duncan.
I mean,
Larry Bird
could
is next.
Be. I mean, you're selecting. No. I guess in the most recent list I saw, Larry Bird was 6 all-time, and I saw Duncan was 7, and then it came Kobe and Shaq. But you have Curry going from 10 or wherever you have him now to knocking off Larry Bird, but none of those Lakers.
I think the way he shoots, the way he played, the way he leads, I think he's a historic shooter. He gets 4 championships. He's in the top 10.
Israel Gutierrez.
In Bill's defense, if Steph Curry retired after the season, he would have played as many seasons as Larry Bird and have more championships. What Larry would have
there
on him is an extra MVP playing with the Hall of Fame team his entire career. So I do believe that there's a case for getting him out of the top 10 if you consider longevity. I think he'll probably jump over Oscar and be at least number 11 here in most people's eyes. But yeah, I do think when you shoot the basketball that well, when you lead this particular team, which is not as star-studded as his previous ones, to a championship if he were to do that, I think this vaults him up there into the top 10. Absolutely.
KB, short term or in the micro, what's at stake tonight for Steph Curry? Bandaged finger coming off 0-for-9, and then macro in the top 10 ever.
Well, micro, you know, if he's in fact hurt and if he's playing with a taped finger tonight and he has a solid shooting game, then you recall Michael Jordan's stomach flu game, right?
Wait. The taped finger game is going to be as big
and
low
as the stomach. You can make that comparison. Two guys who are hurt going into a big game. I will make that comparison, and I will stand by it. In the macro term, there's no question he's the greatest shooter in the history of the game. But more importantly to me is the fact that he has changed the game. He has been an improviser. He has left an imprint on the game, which is going to last for a very long time. And there will be teams trying to draft players who can shoot like he can shoot, and they won't be able to find that person very easily.
Pablo Torre.
Speaking of micro, I hope Bob Ryan is somewhere micro-dosing, watching, macro-dosing even watching this segment. I imagine he hates nothing more than the guy who ruined basketball knocking Larry Bird out of the top 10.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm going to make it harder on Bob because I agree that he is a top 10 all-time player. That's what's on the line here. He is arguably, right there with Michael Jordan, the greatest offensive threat the game has ever seen. And, Tony, what is really here, like, hanging in the balance is like the two sentences you say about Steph Curry, right? He does not have the finals MVP. When we talk about this series 5 years from now, we're not going to be talking about turnovers. We'll be talking about who was finals MVP. And that's going to make his life a lot easier in terms of that historical conversation.
All right. Well, he hasn't done it yet. Make a pick for tonight, Pablo Torre.
I think the Warriors close it out in 6, man. I do.
Kevin Blackiston?
Warriors.
Wow. Israel Gutierrez?
We're going to a game 7.
And Bill Plashke.
Yeah, we're going. I hate to say this. We're going to a game 7. I hate those Celtics.
We know. Unbelievable. Will the game be single digits? Is that asking too much? We move on. Hockey last night. Game 1 thriller to start the final. Overtime. Don't get comfortable. Andrei Burakovsky, hero again.
Avalanche, the win. So Colorado at home started so strong. Tampa, they came back. They slowed it up. But the Avalanche come out with the 1-0 lead. Kevin Blackstone, what did you see last night? What will be the biggest factor in these finals now?
Well, the biggest factor is going to be offensive weapons. I mean, you saw the Avalanche. They had four people score last night. Meanwhile, on the other hand, you had the Lightning struggling to get 23 shots on goal the entire night. Now, in their defense, they were able to push this into overtime. And if Maroon coming out of the penalty box maybe has a cleaner shot, they walk away and steal a game. That did not happen. So to me, it's about offense and diversity with your offense.
Pablo Torre.
To me, it's about the defense for kind of the same reasons, KB. I don't know if there's a team other than the Lightning who would be so confident after getting beat like this in a game one, but it's happened to them two out of the three series they've played. And Andrei Vasilevskiy, right? He is a B student, basically, in game ones. He is an A student in games two through seven. Listen to his teammates after the game. Pretty much nobody in a genuine way seemed worried. And for that reason, I don't think I'm terribly worried about the Lightning either.
Bill Plaschke.
Vasilevskiy was worse than a B. He was an F, Pablo. It's the worst start of his career. He's never given up three goals in the first. He's never done that before. He put him in a hole they couldn't get out of. I don't know who's going to score for the Lightning. I don't know how they're going to get out of this. They're 0-9 in their last nine power plays. I don't see where the scoring comes from. I think they're in trouble.
Israel Gutierrez.
Well, that's the one thing from last night that I think might be able to linger throughout the series is that Avalanche power play kill, penalty kill, because they were great. And as you mentioned, Bill, Tampa Bay's hasn't been great lately, but they also got Braden Point back and didn't have, obviously, a great game coming back from injury. But if he develops into more of a threat offensively, and obviously with Vasilevskiy, we've seen this before, if he sort of straightens things out as the rest of the series goes, it's going to be a nail biter. So I don't think, you know, that the Avalanche depth is necessarily meaning this is over.
Pablo Torre, 22. Israel Gutierrez, 14. Kevin Blackstone, 4. And a late arriving crowd in Los Angeles. Plaschke, -1. Buy or sell on the other side.
I'm just being honest. I get penalized for honesty.
Pundit Square.
Shame on everybody.
Pundit Square.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine line. Live la vida más fina. Part of Happy Hour.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
News of the day from the WNBA, and it's huge. And it's in writing now. Sue Bird announcing this will be her last season. Her last second half of the season now coming up. Her last run in the playoffs. Maybe this will propel Seattle. She's still third in the league in assists this season, top 10 in threes made, but overall her lowest shooting percentage of her career. Pablo, you spoke to her recently. What is this about today, and do you think it means more about the rest of this season? And what about her career?
Yeah, this is about the biggest picture, Tony. When I talked to Sue on ESPN Daily, she did not want the retirement tour. I think she was like one of those people who don't like it when other people sing happy birthday on your special day too loudly, but she needs to hear the song. Look at her Wikipedia page. Her career achievements are a CVS receipt of milestones. Everything is on there. All-star appearances, titles, 4 of them, Olympic gold medals, first team, all-time assist leader. Just like, it's all there. And I hope she knows that she needs to be celebrated now.
Devin, you were shaking your head. No, I think I know why. The Wikipedia was it?
Oh, that was so painful.
The Wikipedia?
At least Britannica, yeah. Yes. Or go to USA Basketball. Look, Sue Bird, 21 years of basketball, absolutely amazing, has won at every level in this country, right? Overseas, 5 gold medals, unbelievable career, definitely on the Mount Rushmore of women's college basketball.
Well, and pro basketball, no question at this
women's,
point, too.
I mean, women's
of
basketball.
Of course, right. So now you have her top 4 all-time, which becomes interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
Like a conversation we had last segment, Israel Gutierrez.
If I may, just all her accomplishments are amazing, as Pablo mentioned and KB mentioned, but the thing that makes her an inspiration to me is being an openly gay woman. Come out in 2017, talked about her relationship with Megan Rapinoe. The two of them have been on a cover of ESPN, the magazine. The two of them hosted an ESPYs award. And at a time in our country where things are maybe backpedaling a little bit when it comes to LGBT rights, I believe that, you know, her and Megan are absolute inspirations and absolute superheroes.
I want to have this conversation about greatest of all time, though, top 4 of all time. I guess let's make it WNBA, all right? And that puts Cheryl Swoops and Cynthia Cooper in a tough spot because they didn't grow up wanting to be a WNBA player because there was no league and they made it later in their careers. Is she in the top 5 all time, WNBA, Bill Plaschke?
Yes, absolutely. This is one Bird who's moving up in the rankings with her retirement. She's played more games than anybody, more assists than anybody, won as many championships as anybody. She's been such a star in the league. I can't believe it. Some rankings have her out of the top 5. That's insane. She's right there with Taurasi. She's right there with
It was our own lesson. Ranking in ESPN. At Taurasi 1, Catchings 2. I think it was Maya Moore 3. And
she played
was
so much longer than any of them. Year.
Understood. Never got the MVP, the season MVP. We'll move on. Buy or sell 2.
You don't just have to beat the Warriors on the court. You got to beat their checkbook. And nothing away from Andrew Wiggins tonight, but this was a checkbook win for the Warriors.
Checkbook win. Have you ever called it that before? Heard that before? It got Zaza Pachulia to respond, and watch your feet, Wendy, if Zaza's jumping out at you. Zaza, now operations consultant with the Warriors. Take a listen here.
We're not doing something that is illegal or is against the rules, right? So we are doing something that is totally fine to do, right? Mm-hmm. It's totally legal. So, I mean, that speaks to, on behalf of to our ownership group.
Ain't that Pachulia? So Warriors, highest payroll in the league at $178 million. And in total, it was $346 million moved between salary and repeat offender tax for the luxury cap. Zach Lowe has reported other teams are grumbling. Israel, how do you hear criticism of Golden State's checkbook?
Well, first, it's never a great look when the defense is, I swear, it's totally legal. But I do think that when you have a team that can win multiple championships and you have a soft cap that has penalties for, you know, taxpayers and everything else, that's in the books. That is literally in the books. That's what you want. If you're a fan, you want your owner to spend as much and keep that thing together as long as possible and win as much as possible. The last thing you want is a cheap owner that says, yeah, let's get rid of a few pieces and try to win anyway.
KB.
Yeah, I mean, I think this really diminishes what they've done in the front office and on the court. Let's not forget, Durant walked away from this. They could have Wiggins was out there to be had. They're the club that made the deal for him. They waited for an injury to heal up an ACL and the Achilles. So what this team has done is their decision-making. It has nothing to do with their checkbook. Stop.
Pablo Torre.
Well, I think both things are true, right? The Warriors have drafted as well as anybody, right? They drafted their core, Steph, Klay, and Draymond. They drafted Jordan Poole. These are moves that they deserve credit for. But the biggest advantage in the NBA is having an owner for whom money is no object, because there is no hard cap. And so Joe Lacob, Tony, he is not even the top 20 richest owners in the league, but he spends like it. And to Brian's point, yeah, follow the money. That's an advantage that you can't match.
No Plaschke.
Have they spent $40 million in luxury tax money? Yes. Does it matter? No. They have, because they're spending it on the right players. They're invested in the right. They've had 3 players on this team for a decade. They've kept these players. Again, like KB said, nobody wanted Andrew Wiggins. They paid the money for him. All these teams have money. These guys, the Warriors, just spend it smartly. And it's disrespectful to say otherwise.
Absolutely. Bill Plaschke, Kevin Blackstone. Front row seats for Israel Gutierrez and Pablo Torre in showdown. We're going to have a pregame debatable and then a postgame debatable.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. Live la vida más fina. Part of Happy Hour.
If you were to do the math, and I wouldn't suggest it, the odds of an immaculate inning, roughly 1 in 40,000. The odds of two immaculate innings in one game, roughly 1 in 1.6 billion, that it was done by the same team, is inconceivable. Luis Garcia and Phil Maton. Both throwing 1-2-3 innings with 3 strikeouts on 9 pitches, but that it was done to the same 3 batters. Nathaniel Lowe, Ezekiel Duran, and Brad Miller. Israel, what's the biggest wow here?
The biggest wow to me has to be Brad Miller the second time around. My man, take a pitch. Please, just at least make it look like you know what's going on here because, geez, just swinging right through all those, that looked terrible.
Yeah, we need to rebrand what this is for the batters. I know it's an immaculate inning or two for the pitcher, but this should be like an obscene inning, an impure inning if you're a batter. Like, if, as a team, you got to hang this. You've got to wear it in a way that's shameful.
So you're both putting it on the batters. Now I see it. I didn't see it when Plaschke said it, but I see it when you say it. We'll move on. More from baseball, and this is from our friend June Lee. Baseball's now marketing and selling these jerseys. If you look closely, the jersey has a hole in it, and the hat has a hole in it. This is called a meteor crater or meteor hole. It's on brand. It's very stylistic right now. People have worn holes in jeans for years. When you were growing up, you put them in your Z Cavaricis, right, Israel, Pablo? My question is, can MLB pull off this look? Holes, the meteor hole.
No.
Pablo, first to you.
No, Tony, has anyone in this family ever even seen a meteor? Why is this what a meteor hole looks like? It's just a circular cutout with a protractor. No, stolen hole valor.
I'm all about little peaks here and there. But this just looks like three-hole punch Jim from The Office just got loose and just started punching in every single. Like, it looks ridiculous, a meteor hole.
Great FaceTime. You know how much those jerseys go for? $1,030.
Naturally.
FaceTime, Pablo Torre.
So Mike Breen was on ESPN Daily last week, had a great conversation, but I am worried that I may have gotten in his head a little bit because watching Game 5, I saw a number of opportunities for bangs. He did not bang except for once. Mike Breen, a triple bang. That's what I want from you. I know you said you'll save it for the Knicks, but no, Game 6 is tonight. The people need the triple bang, please.
Let's see if I can get one here.